Right to the book of 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter number 23. The Lord's been speaking in my heart about one of David's mighty men. And I've just tried to let God just give me some things and speak to my heart about some things to share with you. And we're going to deal with a man's name, Adino, if I'm pronouncing that right, A-D-I-N-O. David's chief among the captains of his mighty men. 2 Samuel 23, we'll just break in on the conversation. Verse number 8, if you would just read the one verse. I found out a long time ago, value is not recorded in volume in the Bible.
Right.
If it's one verse, that doesn't mean that it's not important.
Right.
If it's one of the minor prophets, that doesn't mean it's less important than one of the major prophets. And the minor and major is not a value topic. It is a length topic. The major prophets is, 20, 30 chapters or more. And the minor prophets are real small books, just a few chapters. But here we have one verse about this man by the name of Adino. And I want to read that verse. The Bible says in verse number 8, these be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Techmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains, the same was Adino, the Iznite. He lift up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. Let's pray. Father, we pray you'll help us tonight, God, to preach what you'd have us to. Burden our heart afresh and anew and even to a greater level. Help me, our Father, to not only be challenged tonight about this truth, but also that you would challenge this church, challenge the young people, challenge the adults, challenge the members, challenge the visitors. We pray that you will speak to us in this service tonight. Give us liberty. Give us clarity of thought. Help me to think your thoughts. Help me to speak your words. Be your mouthpiece. Stand in your stead, be your ambassador in this place tonight, and may you get all of the glory. Dear Lord, we're not interested in being like other churches. We're not interested in that. We're interested in being what you want us to be. And I pray, dear God, that we'll stay focused on that. I know we're in perilous days. We're in testing, trying days. I pray you'll help us, Lord, to know that fire cannot destroy faith. Trials cannot destroy faith, but rather purifies our faith. Lord, you said the trial of our faith is much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Help us to know, Lord, the testings is getting us ready, Lord, to be a greater Christian for you, and Lord, getting us ready to leave this world and to meet our Redeemer one day. Have your way, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Keep your Bibles open. I'm interested in the fact that King David, had some mighty men. Now, we know that David was a great warrior, a great king, but David could not have done what he did without some mighty men with him. Amen. I believe it was, I was trying to think of the preacher that used to pastor Tennessee Temple. Can anybody help me on that? Robertson. Dr. Lee Robertson said, everything rises and falls on leadership. David was the king, David was the leader, but he had some mighty men that was by his side, and they're listed in chapter 23. And the last one, I guess, impresses me as much as the first one. The last one mentioned in verse 39 was Uriah the Hittite.
Right.
What about that?
Right.
One of David's mighty men listed there. But I'm interested in that first one tonight, and I'm interested in asking you the question tonight, how many of us are interested in being mighty for the Lord? How many of us are interested in being a mighty Christian? Most people today are not interested in that. The majority of people going to church, and by the way, when I'm talking about being a mighty Christian, if you're saved, you are qualified.
Right.
If you're a young boy, you can be a mighty Christian. If you're a young girl, you can be a mighty Christian. If you're a mother or a father, you can be a mighty Christian. If you're a grandparent, you can be a mighty Christian. Amen. But how many are aspiring to be a mighty Christian for the Lord? Our lives today are benefited by mighty Christians down through the ages. One being the Apostle Paul, probably one of the greatest Christians ever lived. He brought the gospel to the Gentile world, in which you and I are beneficiaries of that, hearing the gospel. So, but I wonder if there's any in this building tonight, any in this service, that are interested in being a mighty Christian to influence those that's up ahead of us. We can look around behind us and see. We can pull history books from the shelf. We can read about mighty Christians in days gone by, men and women of prayer, men and women of self-denial, men and women of sacrifice, men and women that, listen, that attempted great things for God and accomplished great things for God. For sure, you will never accomplish something until you attempt something.
Right.
Amen. Amen. And I began to look at this man and just I'm serious, just jotting down some things as the Lord just put them in my heart for the service tonight. Most people are not interested in being mighty. They're more interested in being mediocre. Most people are interested in being mediocre. And I remember looking up years ago, I remember looking up what mediocre meant, and it caught my attention, and I've never forgotten it. The definition given about mediocrity or mediocre is that it means barely acceptable. Barely acceptable. And that is simply just, I'm doing enough. That's the voice, that's the testimony of mediocrity is, I'm doing enough. I don't want to do no more. I don't want to be more. I just want to be what I am. And God help us to be challenged to get out of the mold and get out of the box and get out of just being enough and doing enough and praying enough and reading enough. God, help us to want to do more and be more for the glory of God. Of course, I've said that here. If you're going to do more, you're going to have to be more.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
I remember praying coming up Petersburg Road. If there's any road to pray on, it'll be that one. Amen. And I remember praying. I said, Lord, surely there's more from you to us. Surely there's more power, and surely you're wanting to do more than what you're doing. Surely there's more from you. And I was praying, and God spoke just as clear as if it had been audible. He said, yes, but the key is there's more from you that I need. God will do more when he gets more. God is not doing any more than he's doing, not because there's not a need.
Right.
Not because there's not a need. There's more lost people on planet Earth tonight than has ever been in the history of humanity at any one time. Over 7 billion people now? Over 7 billion people. Multitudes, millions of people have never heard the gospel. We support Brother Eric Lee in that Bible translating ministry. And I don't remember how many it was, but there was like hundreds of languages that don't even have a Bible in their language. What about that? My goodness, God help us to not be satisfied where we are. I believe that is probably what mediocrity is. Mediocre is just being satisfied where I am and what I am, and I'm not interested in really going further. I'm not really interested in going higher with God. More simply put, I guess simply is this, that we're just doing what we're doing. We're going to keep doing what we're doing. That right there, that attitude right there, an out attitude always determines altitude.
Right.
How high you go as at altitude, how high you go with God comes out of your attitude.
Right.
Your attitude. The outcome comes out of your outlook. And most people don't have enough vision, spiritual vision, to see past the end of their nose. I mean, really, where do you want to be next year spiritually? What are you doing today to make you a greater Christian tomorrow? And listen, I'm right here. I'm made of the same stuff you are. Most of us are creatures of habit. And we are defeated from going further and higher with God over what we do every day. Because what we did yesterday, we do today. What we do today, we'll do tomorrow. We're creatures of habit, and habit don't like to change. The flesh don't like to change. But I believe if we're going to get what we haven't got, we're going to have to do what we haven't done. Amen. If we're going to do more, we've got to be more for the glory of God. What you do comes out of what you are. Don't expect to do more if you're not more. God help us to know that what we do, Brother Frankie, comes out of what we are. If I change what I am and take my character and my conduct and my commitment to another level, then guess what goes with it? What I can do. What I can do, amen? That's right. But we can learn several major things from this man in our text about being a mighty Christian. If you're looking for a fancy outline, you won't get it tonight, but these are practical truths. The first thing I want to share with you, and we've got several, I don't know how many I've got, but I'm just going to write them down, or give them to you, and you write them down. I've already wrote them down. I'm not going to write them down for you. The first thing is this, that if you're going to be a mighty Christian, it will be with opposition and confrontation. Our man in the text, Adino, was confronted with 800. If you're going to be a mighty Christian, expect it. There's going to be a fight. There's going to be a battle. There's going to be confrontation. There's going to be opposition. And that right there is what keeps most people from not wanting to be mighty for God. How many people? Come on, can I get a witness? How many people in here have made some advances toward God and it attracted warfare? It attracted warfare not only from your flesh but from the devil and from the world and people. And you know what many times we do when we encounter the opposition and the conflict and we think, oh man, I've made a commitment to pray more. I've made a commitment to be more. And here's what I'm getting. And what most of us do, we start backing up and changing our mind and falling right back into that comfortable mold of habit. Amen. So we need to understand that to be mighty, and listen, here's the thing I wrote down. To be mighty with the king and to be mighty for the king requires opposition. How would we ever know, Brother Frankie, that Adino was even mighty if there wasn't 800 come against him? Our battles are not allowed of God to come in our life to ruin us, but to reveal us. Adino, you don't just arrive one morning and you're mighty Christian for God. Mighty Christians comes from being developed, and how do you do that? From fighting, from warring, and being faithful, and being committed. And so I just simply put here, I wrote this down, that being mighty with and for the king is attained by opposition, and it is manifested by opposition. When troubles come and you run, you're not a mighty Christian. When hard times, Brother Mark, I'll never forget it. It's been several years ago, Brother Mark, standing right here teaching on Sunday morning. He said, if it's easy, God's probably not in it. Right. Remember saying that, Brother Mark? Of course you do. You remember everything. But I've told that statement all over this country. They may not even know who Brother Mark Green is, but they know that Brother Mark said that. Amen. If it's easy, God's probably not in it. Amen. But what do we look for? We look for the path of the least resistance. We don't want to go over something when we can go around it.
Right, right.
Hey, we don't want to go through it if we can go around it. But anyway, I can't preach on all these like that. We'll be here tomorrow. The second thing that I want you to write down that stuck out to me about this being mighty is that, and it's simple now, simple, is that being a mighty Christian is not automatic. It don't just happen. It don't just happen. It didn't fall out of the sky. Being a mighty warrior, being mighty with the king, and being mighty for the king, as was Adino, my friend, came because of personal choice, personal commitment, and personal continuation. Amen. He'd been through some fights before. This wasn't his first parade. This wasn't his first confrontation. But how many people refrain from even the aspiration of being a mighty Christian because it may take years for you to get there? Oh yeah. I'll never forget when I surrendered to preach. A lot of my heroes was still alive then. Dr. Seidler and some of those. And I thought, man, boy, I'd like to be like them. I'm talking about here, I've only been preaching a week or two or a month or two, and I've already said, man, I'd like to preach like that. It don't happen. Greatness don't happen overnight, and I'm certainly not claiming that. I'm not claiming that. I'm just saying you can't go from crawling to running overnight. It's a result of choice. It's a result of commitment. I'll tell you where greatness will come in the tomorrows that's coming. It's when that tonight we have opportunity to get in the altar. It would be, Lord, I want to purpose tonight to start making mighty choices, because I'll never have mighty conduct. I'll have not ever have mighty, listen, convictions. I'll never have mighty consequences until I have a mighty choices. You know where you being mighty starts? Choose it. Choose to go above the status quo. Choose to go above, rise above the normal, the usual, and the average. Amen. What potential is right here in this building? Think of the people that's influenced your life for God. Have been people that somewhere in their life said, you know what? I don't want to be just another Christian. I don't want to be just a number on the roll. I want to pray more. I want to be more. I want to do more and make a choice to be mighty for God.
Right.
Amen. That's right. It's not hereditary. Being mighty is not automatic. It's not hereditary. Somebody can't hand it to you, wrap it up in a box, and you can open it on Christmas morning. If you're mighty, it's because you choose, because you're committed, and because you refuse to quit and you continue on pursuing that. Thirdly, I don't have these numbers, so you just have to keep up with them. Next, write it down. If you're going to be mighty for the Lord, just understand this. God can use you if you'll stand. Wasn't that scene right there with Adino? 800 come against him. All he had was a spear, and he stood his ground, and God used him. Just a simple, practical truth, but let it sink into my heart. As your pastor, may it sink in your heart. God can use you if you will stand. God can't use you with your back turned to the fight. God can't use you if you're a coward. God can't use you, listen, if you're running from the fight. Simply put, God can use you if you will stand. That's simple, but it's right there, isn't it? How many people are standing? How many people are going to stand? Oh, it's easy to stand when you don't know the consequences. But what are you going to do if you get told, you know, if you stand this way or if you believe this way, that there's going to be a fine or there's going to be some jail time?
Right.
Huh? What was that lady's name? Where was that at? That she went to jail for not. That was in Kentucky. What was her name? Smith? Davis. Davis. I wonder how many ladies in here would have cowered down on that pressure. I watched the videos. I thought, man, they come down on her like a ton of bricks. But she never budged. Stood her ground. I wonder how many of us have got that. I want to have that. I want to have that, that if the pressure gets on, that I don't compromise, that I don't quit, that I don't give in, that I don't say, okay, you can have it. That might get you out of some problems. That might get you out of some pressure. But what are you going to do when you stand and give an account to your commander-in-chief, the Lord Jesus Christ? We'll be ashamed, won't we? Being mighty is not automatic. God will use you if you will stand. Here's your another one. Write it down. These are just some things God spoke to my heart about. You'll be mighty for God and with God. If you're going to be mighty, you better choose your friends well. Adeno had as his friend Eliezer. The next one talked about in verse 9. And had as his friend the next one mentioned in verse 11. Shammah. They were buddies. Listen, how could you be mighty for God if you're not running with people that have that same heartbeat? Right. You can't run around with deadbeats and be a mighty Christian for God. Adeno ran with people and fought with people and stood with people that was serving, listen, here it is, the same king. They loved the same king. They served the same king. They were on the same side. But how many young people will never rise to that status of being mighty for God because they don't know how to choose their friends? And I believe this, and I don't have time to preach on this. I preach a lot on it anyway, but listen, you're to be friendly with everybody. But you're not to be friends with everybody. Does that make sense? Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. If you run with carnal people, if you run with fleshly people, if you run with worldly people, they will influence you. Where do you draw the line, preacher, of how much time do I spend and how far do I go with my friends? How, when they start influencing you in a negative way, that's when you need to be responsible for your spiritual life. Draw the line in the sand and say, look, it's not that I'm holier than you. It's just that I can't be what God wants me to be and go to these places and do these things. So if you're going to be mighty for God, choose your friends well. It's a lot easier to be mightier if you're running with people that wants to be mighty also. Next, write it down. Here's the next one. To be mighty with the king and for the king, you cannot wait on the crowd. Well, preacher, I'd be mighty if I had others to stand with me. Well, of course we all would. But if you read verse number 8, it is clear that when the 800 came against Adeno, he took his spear, he rose up, and he took care of business. He did not wait for assistance, and he did not wait for help. You can't wait on the crowd.
Right.
Amen. Get out of that crowd consciousness. God help me to hear that. Get out of that crowd consciousness. Well, I'll do something if I've got enough with me. No, if you've got God with you, you are a majority.
Right, right.
Amen. That's right. Don't wait on the crowd. Listen to this. This is good. Your most influential victories will be battles fought and won in solitude. What will strengthen your faith and what will take you to a higher level in your spiritual life, Brother Mark, will be battles that you fought when you were by yourself. And you won't be able to step back and say, we did it. You'll have to look and say, you know what? God helped me to deal with that. God helped me to deal with that. Amen, Jesus. I believe the Lord's helping us. I know He wants to. You cannot wait on the crowd. Amen. God, listen to this. God will always be in the fight with you, and on Him you can depend. I may not make it there in time. Amen. I may not be there. But I want to tell you, God will always be there. If you're needing a friend, an earthly friend, they may not be around. They may be sick themselves. They may be on vacation. They may not be there. They may not know what you're facing. But I'm glad, hallelujah, that we have a God that's on our side. Thank God He knows. And He doesn't need a break or a vacation. You can depend on Him. So if you wrote that one down, you can be a mighty Christian for God. But don't wait on the crowd. You cannot depend on others all the time, but you can always depend on God. Write this down. Next, if I'm going to be mighty for God, I need to understand the enemy does not fight fair. How many noticed the odds in our text? 800 to 1. You say, I can't believe the enemy would be so cheap and to bring such a mob against one person. The enemy don't have pride. Well, I mean, how are they going to boast? Hey, we took 800 down there and killed him. Right. They don't care. They're not interested in boasting. They're interested in burying you. And let me ask you this. Why do you think they took 800 anyway? I guarantee you, don't say here, but I guarantee you they had heard some reports that this man right here who rose to sit in the seat as chief among the captains, he wasn't just your average Joe. He wasn't just somebody in the list. He was sitting in the chief seat. And that position came as he proved himself to occupy that place of responsibility. The enemy don't fight fair. Amen. The devil and the enemy of our soul and spiritual life, he it don't matter what it takes. He's interested in putting you out of business. He's interested in taking your family down. He wants to take this church down. He don't fight fair. 800 to 1. But you put God in the fight, and that more than equals the odds. Hallelujah. Amen. He always makes the difference. What I could not do on my own and what I could not have victory over on my own, through Him I can. Amen. Amen, that's right. So we need to understand that everything that comes in your life when you're wanting to be mighty for God is not always going to be fair as you would see it. Well, I can't believe that they'd talk about me or take advantage of me. Listen, the enemy don't fight fair. Right. The main thing we need to stay focused on is it don't matter the odds. We need to go get God and make sure we're right with Him so He can get in the fight with us. Amen. And He's never been defeated. Right. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm feeling something from another world. Praise God. The enemy evidently had heard about it. And no doubt feared him. That's why they brought 800. Let me ask you a question tonight. Has the enemy heard about you? Evidently, Brother Fultz, they feared him. Does the enemy have any fear of us? You remember that? I wish I'd have thought about it. I'd studied it out. Remember that passage in the book of Acts? Was it the seven sons of Sceva or whatever? Those disciples came out and tried to rebuke them and take care of business. And while that man demon-possessed jumped on them and stripped them of their clothes and wounded them and beat them up. And then those demons spoke out and they said, Paul we know. Demons said, yeah, we know who Paul is. Paul we know and Jesus we know. But who are you? In other words, you ain't never done enough to even get our attention. You ain't you hadn't done enough spiritually. Amen. You hadn't prayed. Listen, we don't even know who you are. You've not even been a threat to us. You've not even been in our way. You've not even been a hindrance. And they thought they could go through the little religious ritual. Man, we'll just rebuke you in Jesus' name. And that demon-possessed man jumped on them and about killed them. And they said, Paul, we know. Does the enemy know? Hey, are you known in hell? Does your name get thrown around any? Does my name get thrown around any with the demons of hell? I doubt it. But we ought to desire to be on a level spiritually with God to where God is, a devil would say, you know what? I know about that crowd. I know about that individual. Anyway, I got to move on. Enemy doesn't fight fair. Next, write this down. God will bring into the fight the element of the supernatural. Oh, boy. Son, that's good. When you bring God into your fight, and know this, your fight is God's fight. Right. You better make sure your fight is God's fight. I probably should have said it like that. That's right. Amen. You better make sure your cause is one that God would be involved in. David went out and fought Goliath with confidence and said, the battle is the Lord's. You know why? Because he started it out and said to his brother, he said, is there not a cause? How many people's involved in a cause? I don't know where this is going. I mean, I've got good liberty, but I'm going to tell you how many people sitting right here said, preacher, I can't be great. Not with that mentality, you can't. I don't know how accurate this is. It's just been years ago since I heard it. But they said you can take a baby shark and put it in a small aquarium and it'll never grow. It'll stay small. Got the potential. It's got the genes of being huge. But because it's in a confined, small environment, it'll never be big. How many Christians will never be big because you are in your own little, I can't do nothing aquarium? You have so confined yourself. I can't do anything. I can't be nothing for God. And you're killing your faith with I can't do that. Can't, never done nothing. How many's heard that before? Can't, never did do nothing. Amen. But you know what Paul said? Philippians 4, you ought to memorize this verse. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me.
That's right.
I'm preaching on this point here. God, when He comes into the situation, He brings in the element of the supernatural. It's not natural for one man to whip 800. It's no, boy. It's not natural for one man to take a spear of all things and whip 800. Trained soldiers. But when God gets in the equation, He brings the element of the supernatural. Amen. Son, I'm feeling God on that. Whoa, amen. How many people maybe drive by and they say, there's that little RBT church down there. They can't do anything for God. They're not big enough. Hey, man, they're not big enough. How, you know how, hey, man, how can they send and be supporting 70-something missionaries on a monthly basis plus other mission things that we're doing? How can they do? Hey, I'll tell you how. God's big. It's not our numbers. It's not that board back there that my friend tells us what we can do.
Right.
Mm. If y'all don't mind, I'll preach to myself a minute. It's not that. God will show up, Miss Betty, in this place. And God, my friend, has ordained this place. There's no doubt about it. We've seen God do mighty things. We've seen supernatural things take place around here. And by the way, when we're serving a supernatural God, there's nothing natural about Him. He's a supernatural God with supernatural power, and He wants to do supernatural things. But He always works with people and through people. God only could deal with them 800 in a supernatural fashion because a man was willing to say, you know what? Use me. Use me. Amen. Well, God brings the element. Listen, I wrote this down today on that point about the supernatural. God has the power to disable the impossible. Son, is that not good? God has the power to disable the impossible, making it possible. All things are possible to him that believeth. Do you remember back when you got saved? Have you forgotten that that was an absolute impossibility? There was no way that you could get saved. But God brings the element of the supernatural when your faith embraces Him. And He saves you from sin and from hell. Whew, son, I went home today and done some more studying on what I preached this morning. I'm telling you what's the truth. I about got plumb beside myself. Talking about the pleasures of righteousness. You know what makes that greater than the pleasures of sin? Pleasures of sin always ends at the grave. The pleasures of righteousness exceeds the grave. It goes on. Hallelujah. And then the Lord showed this to me. Just simple thought. He said, there are no pleasures in hell. None. None. Can we get it? None. There's not one of the smallest pleasures in hell. But when a child of God, ladies and gentlemen, that have chosen the path of righteousness and uprightness and to live for God and to honor God and enjoy the pleasures that comes from that in this life, when we die, that will not cease. It will continue. Oh, mercy. Boy, I'm glad I'm not going to hell. I'm glad I'm not going to hell. There's no pleasures in hell. Nobody's getting high in hell. Nobody's partying in hell. Everybody's praying, but nobody's partying in hell. You can write that one down.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Amen. Last. There you go. That's what you've been looking for. God wants to use you with the weapon that's in your hand. So learn how to use it. Listen, preacher, I know that last point. I said God brings the supernatural. But that still does not take away our responsibility or Adeno's responsibility of learning how to use the spear. That spear could be used for short hand-to-hand combat, close hand-to-hand combat. But it was also, that spear could be used to be thrown at a distance. I wonder how many hours that Adeno spent with that spear. You don't wait till 800 comes against you and picks it up and say, what is this? Because it's not going to, it's going to feel awkward. What is our, listen, what is our weapon, Brother Silas? Right here, Ephesians 6 calls it the sword of the Spirit. Amen. Get to know your weapon for close hand-to-hand combat. Get to know your weapon to be able to use it at a distance at the enemy. Get to know, God can use you, but you've got to learn how to use your spear, your weapon. How many people in our Baptist churches have a Bible, but the Bible does not have them? Go from Sunday to Sunday, and sometimes not even that, and never read it. Most people in church will live their whole life and die never, and claim to be saved now, and never read God's word through, right, from one end to the other. Right. Are you listening? Get familiar with your weapon. Because the devil don't fear you. He fears your weapon. And if that way that right there is worded in verse number 8, all 800 of them he killed with that spear. Not with his bare hands, but with that spear. The enemy, get it. God help us to get it. The enemy, Brother Frankie, does not fear my biceps. He doesn't fear my looks. He doesn't fear my size or my weight. He doesn't fear my experience. He fears the weapon I've got in my hand. The devil doesn't care. Listen, the devil doesn't care if you're a church member, been baptized. Just don't get to know how to use your weapon. Or how many of us, when you're having a bad day, resort to trying to get some help for all this right here? You know what we do? Most of the time, we're having a bad day. We do everything, including pouting and complaining and murmuring and listening to the flesh, being led around by the flesh, leaning on the flesh, instead of saying, you know what, wait a minute, this is a spiritual battle. I need to go get my weapon. I need to quote some scripture. If I can't quote it, I need to read it. It'll work. The devil can't handle it. Jesus Christ set the standard for us when in the temptation in the wilderness. He could have just thought it. He could have just took his little pinky and took care of business with the enemy. But he knew we couldn't do that. So he took the Bible and he said, as it is written. And he quoted the scripture, and the devil couldn't handle that. You know why he did that? To set the example for us, because we've got a Bible. Get to know your Bible. Would you agree with me tonight that Adeno used that spear because he had confidence in it? Right. He'd thrown it. He'd thrown it before it hit the bullseye. He said, wow. He used it in close hand-to-hand combat and saw it work. Let me ask you something. Could the bottom line reason why we're so slothful with this book right here, the sword of the Spirit, is that we just really don't have confidence in it? Is that really, could that be it, Brother Silas?
Right.
Amen. Amen. When the enemy shows up, especially 800 to 1, whatever it is that you run to get is what you've got confidence in. And this is, listen, I know that we're in the last days, and I understand this perilous times, and I understand all of the political mess that we're in and the immoral mess that we're in this country and all of that. I understand that. But you know, really, the battle is spiritual.
Right.
Our battle is not political.
Right.
Oh, no. The battle is spiritual. And we better get to learn our weapon. God will use you. What was our last point there on that? God will use you with your weapon if you will learn and prepare yourself to use it. Let me challenge you right here. I'm about done. Been saved. You've been saved any length. You've been saved a good while. Some of you have been saved a long time. Some of you have been saved a good while. Could you teach a Bible lesson? Could you teach a Sunday school class Sunday morning? Some of you would go in absolute cardiac arrest if a Sunday school teacher asked you to teach, or if I were to say, hey, so-and-so's going to be out, Brother Silas is going to be out Sunday, whatever, and he needs you to pinch hit for him. How many in here is apt to teach? You know why most people in this room would turn that down? We've got several that would take it. Right. It's because you don't know your weapon. Amen. You ought to be getting lessons in your devotions, whether you ever teach or not.
Right.
You ought to be writing. Look, these girls up here writing these. Can I borrow that? You ought to be taking notes out of your devotion. You ought to be writing down. Learn how to write. Look at a passage of scripture and write down some nuggets and some truths and meditate on that. You ought to have a notebook full of things God has given you. That's good preaching. I don't care if I am doing it. That is needed good preaching right there. Listen, if you're saved, amen. If you're saved, you have a personal connection with God. Oh yes, you know what that means? The same God that spoke to Paul, the same God that speaks to your pastor, the same God that spoke to our forefathers is the same God that desires to speak to you. God wants to speak to you out of that book. You ought to take notes. You ought to learn how to write down some things. Oh, I don't believe in that. Oh, don't even get me started on that. Oh, I just believe you ought to open your mouth and God will fill it. He will, with hot air. God expects all of us to be students of the book. Let me give you this and I'm done. I about closed right then and didn't give it to you. Adino's name, get this now, what kind of weapon did he have in his hand? A spear. Adino's name means this. And I looked it up, and you can as well. Adino's name in the original sense of slender. Slender, and then it's got in parentheses in the Strong's Concordance, spear. What about that? His name was the same as his weapon, or means the same as his weapon. His name matched in life and looks what his weapon was in his hand. Would that not help us tonight? Would that not make a difference in us tonight? If our life and our looks matched our weapon, wouldn't that not be good? But it's for sure, if you spend much time in this book right here, it'll conform you. It'll start conforming you into the looks of this book.
That's right.
I used to have a radio broadcast one time. I called it the look, a look in the book. Look in the book broadcast. You know what happens when you look in the book? That book will start looking in you. And we need a revival. God, knowing that God can use us if we'll learn to use our weapon. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Thank you so much.